Well, now that David has you warmed up, we'll just go for an hour. We appreciate all of you being here this morning. It is a great day, and every day is a great day. It's wonderful to be seen than more. Listen, it's a whole lot better to be seen than viewed. Isn't it wonderful to be able to claim the name of Jesus this morning and know that within our hearts he lives? He does. The name of Jesus. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." You know, Jesus, that's a wonderful name, isn't it? No one's ever changed that name. From the very dawn of creation and the time that he was born in physical flesh, he came into the world. The angel made the great annunciation, "For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord," and that has not changed. Now, you can change the Gulf of Mexico and call it the Gulf of America, and you can change the Lake of Ontario. You can do that. I understand that the next executive order, the president is going to name the Canadian geese the Donald Ducks. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but quite possibly could be. I want to talk to you this morning about the name of Jesus, but I also want to talk to you a little bit about Satan, the counterpart. And I would suggest unto you, do not let Satan plan your future eternity. You see, Satan has a plot, but God has a plan. And there is so much difference between those two words. I don't want to succumb to Satan's plot, but I want to honor the plan of God. There are three ways that Satan tries to destroy the church. He is at this time working in ways to destroy the kingdom for which Jesus died and shed his blood, Matthew 22, and Mark the 16th chapter. The church is the blood-bought institution of our Savior and our Lord. And I can tell you that Satan wants to keep you out of the church. Now, I'm making an appeal up here twice on a Sunday, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And Satan is doing everything in the world that he possibly can to keep you out of the church. I'm doing everything that I can possibly to keep you in the body, to keep you in the church. I want you to be in the church because I know that someday, according to Ephesians chapter 5, that Christ is coming again to claim the body that is the church. Now, I've had people argue the idea that you don't have to be in the church to be saved. That's counter to what Christ taught. Such a statement is actually Satan's plot to keep you out of the church. He is scheming at this very moment, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And he's working to accomplish his will. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in our world today, even in the city of Palestine, who are working with Satan. They are co-workers to keep you out of the church. I always tell you why you need to be in the church. I always tell you why you need to be baptized. I always tell you why you should repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord and Savior and believe on him with all your heart. Because that is the way that we get into the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says that we're baptized into one body, that is the church of the living God. We are birthed into the kingdom. People talk about the royal family in the UK. I'm telling you, you know who the royal family is? The royal family includes you. You and I are royalty this morning. Now, that's what Peter said. He says, you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. And if Peter says we're royal, I accept that, and I believe that's what he means. But you know what? Satan's goals are against the church. He couldn't bring the church down, but it's still his goal. But it'll never happen. Because we read where Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That means that nobody is going to prevail against the church of the living God. You're not going to destroy the church. You may attempt to do it, and Satan is working aggressively every day to do it. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 and 12, Paul writes, "To whom we forgive anything, I forgive also." He says, "For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan," here's the reason he did that, "he died upon a cross, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You see, Satan has all kinds of devices. He works here for a while. He'll work here for a while, and over there, and out yonder, and way back there. He'll work to keep you out of the church on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel message was being presented by Peter and the other apostles who stood up and proclaimed it. Satan was working on the minds of other thousands who walked away from Jesus, and 3,000 stayed and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38. But think about the thousands that walked away from God. Think about the thousands that joined the ranks of Satan in his attempt to lead you away from God. Don't let Satan plan your future, because it's not good. You know, Jesus described the place of torment as a place of hellfire. And the Bible teaches about that in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus spoke of it. It's a horrible, horrible place. Matter of fact, if you want to find out about what hell is like, go over to the book of Matthew chapter 25, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It doesn't. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles. You know what the word wiles might be? It's the diabolical schemes of Satan. That's what they are. And Satan has uniquely portrayed himself as an angel of light, and he does it a lot of times on a Sunday morning when people are meeting around the world, and he is teaching and preaching a doctrine that is not consistent with the word of Jehovah God, Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Notice what the word schemes really means. It means avenues by which he is going to corrupt you and keep you out of the kingdom, lest Satan should get an advantage, for we must not be ignorant of his devices. How many of you this morning would know if it's Satan that is working in your life or whether it is God who is working in your life? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, according to 1 John 3 and verse 8. And he is still doing that. But notice Ephesians 6, finally, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against those wiles, those schemes of Satan. For we," and he goes on to say, "for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now get what he's saying. He's saying you're wrestling not with humankind, but you are wrestling with spiritual hosts, that is, the demonic host. They are there. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, why do you think he'd say that? Because Satan is trying to keep you out of the church. He is. He wants you to believe it doesn't matter where you go to worship. He wants you to believe it doesn't matter what you do in terms of how you become a Christian. He wants you to believe you can worship God in any old way and God's going to accept it. Doesn't matter. But those are all statements that are erroneous, folks. It is not going to happen. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says, watch and stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the hearing of the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Who do you think is turning their ears unto fables? It is Beelzebub. It is Satan himself. You see, the truth misapplied and is often misapplied is no better than error applied. Satan has a form of Christianity, but it's counterfeit. It is counterfeit. It's counter to what God says. Whatever is greatly valued by God will be greatly contested by Satan. Think about that one a minute. Whatever God values, Satan denies it. And you know what? God has been working with Satan to destroy him from the very first rebellion that he led in heaven. And he was cast down to the earth. And the likeness of Lucifer in the book of Isaiah 14, verse 1 and following. But notice this statement. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When we talk about spiritual matters, the devil's three goals are listed there in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. He is as a roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. Notice what that word says. He's seeking to devour you. That means to get rid of you. He's not talking about just getting you to come over to his side. But that's the way the devil works. He doesn't care if you read the Bible. You can pick the Bible up every day and read it. Read a chapter, read verses every day. But he doesn't want you attending worship. He doesn't want you coming to glorify God in song, as we have done here so ably this morning. But the devil, this is what he likes to see. Empty pews. He loves that. Because that means that someone is staying home today. It means that someone else is out at the golf course. It means that somebody else is at a ball game. And Satan takes delight. The church of the living God is where we gain strength to fight against Satan. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you bowing down to him, but God wants you to resist him. Well, what are some of the benefits of being in the church? For this is my blood, Jesus said, in the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, Matthew 26 and verse 28. The devil is the father of lies. I was saying that while ago to someone who came up to him who's talking about it. Notice what is said here in John 8. For he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar. And he is the father of all lies. Now that's what Jesus said. and he knows him pretty well. The devil wants you to pay attention to your feelings. As I said in our Bible class this morning, he wants you to give way to your emotions. He wants you to pay attention to his false truths. For in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the apostles, and said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the age." What happened to the Great Commission? How long has it been since you talked to someone about Jesus? He speaks to us today, folks. I know he gave the direct command to the apostles, but don't you think it applies to us today? How could you deny that? When the Bible says when there was a great dispersion in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says they were scattered abroad except the apostles. They stayed back in Jerusalem, and the others were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching and teaching the word of God. That's where faith comes in, and faith does not make things easy. It just simply makes it possible. He wants to keep you out of the church, all right, because he knows the benefits of being in the church, where we praise God and have favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to the church. When such is the case, Satan does not fear you. He fears God's word in you. Think about that one. But secondly, Satan has a plan for your future. If he can't keep you out of the church, and he wants to render you worthless within the body. What does that mean? It means you can wear the name. Satan says it's all right for you to wear the name, but don't act it out in your life. Obedience is an active verb as well. Christ died for the church. Can we love it? 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. David said to the congregation, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for things to be made of silver, things to be made of iron," and on he goes, "of different kinds of colors and manner of precious stones." The church is built upon the great, not a stumbling stone, but a stepping stone. It is the stone of Jesus Christ our Lord. Satan works to try to make you worthless in the church. Sometimes people ask preachers, "What does so-and-so do in church?" "Nothing." "Well, what about so-and-so?" "Nothing." "What about this person?" "Oh, he doesn't do anything either. He just wears the name." "I am a Christian in name only," many say. God said, "I have set my affection on the house of my God." You and I live to die. And we die as Christians in order that we may live. What are some of the benefits in the church? Oh, there are a lot of them. "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, Christ shed his blood. That's a benefit for us to know that our sins can be washed away by his precious blood. Jesus bought his church with his own blood when he died on the cross. And Paul told the elders from the church at Ephesus, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God that he hath purchased with his own blood." Yes, he wants to keep you out of the church, but he wants to render you worthless. But blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Peace is a blessing. Joy is a blessing. Fellowship, the koinonia, is a blessing that comes from God. And it is so unique to the church, you won't find it anywhere else out in the world in which we live. But yes, he wants to keep you out of the church. For Ephesians 3:10 says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places." Are you letting them know? The mission of the church is a great thing, isn't it? And when Christ commanded that the gospel be taught in all the world, he commissioned the best to go out there and do it. And then he commissions the church to do it as well. "Teach him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And whatever you do, Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. How does he keep people out? He makes them prejudiced. They say, well, one church is as good as another. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to save, not the church. They say faith alone saves. Baptism is not necessary. Sprinkling or pouring water on someone's head is just as sufficient and acceptable. Satan keeps us out because of procrastination. For Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Yes, he wants to render you worthless within the kingdom of God. How does he do that? Keeps you ignorant of your duty. You know, there's some people in the church today that are just ignorant of what they ought to be doing in the church of the living God. He makes you covetous. He wants you to say, "I'm just too busy to do anything." And you come up with a multiplicity of excuses why you can't. Are you a Christian in name only? Or is there more substance to your life? And then thirdly, and last of all, he works if you become a member of the church. And he can't render you worthless in the kingdom. He'll do everything in the world that he can to get you back out in the world and get you away from the church. That's what he attempts to do. He rules our world. God is about to depose him. He is going down. For hell is reserved for the devil, first of all, and his angels. Demas went back to the world, having loved the world. Paul says he's forsaken me and is departed to Thessalonica, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. But yet the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father." Here's how he works. Some people say, well, certain sinful activities are not really wrong. I believe all sinful activities are wrong. All of them that are against God. Some people choose the pleasure of the world instead of Christianity. They associate with evil companions. And Paul says that evil companions will corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Satan is crafty and he can ruin you. That's why Paul says, lest he gets an advantage over you. If you're ignorant of the Word of God and you don't know what God says about Satan and what he is doing even now, you are prey for the demonic spirits of our world. The devil doesn't come dressed in a red cape and pointy horns. He comes as everything you've ever wished for in your life. You should pray for wisdom and discernment. Two great problems facing the church today is I don't know and I don't care. It's called ignorance and apathy. And millions make no effort to serve God at any time. And then there's the great problems of people wearing the name Christian, but they are indifferent to the church of the living God. They destroy themselves. They destroy their family. They destroy the church. That's what they embark on in life. And in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God steps in when he sees that we're having a real difficulty time against Satan. He steps in. That's what it says. He will not allow you to be tried or tempted beyond measure. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And if you don't read the Bible and you don't know what the Word of God says, you won't know where the way of escape is. So don't let Satan plan your eternity. God has a blueprint for your life. And he doesn't need someone to go over and say, well, you know, you ought to change that. We're living in a different century here. No, God's not going to change his will. It's forever settled in heaven. That's why this morning, if you're not a Christian, you should come to Christ. Get away from Satan. Leave him. And come to Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Just as you are. And just as we sing. Let us stand.